pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Hey, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Happy Monday. Man, I hope all of you had a great weekend hanging out with your family. Man, just doing the things that you really wanted to be doing. Maybe it was some honeydews, maybe it wasn't. But at the end of the day, friends, the hope is that you're starting off this Monday, man, just as jazzed about this week as I am. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Philip D. Blackman Show. I'm your host, Philip D. Blackman, and welcome to the fastest hour in radio. You know, I'll tell you what, friends, it appears that self-identifying as a victim, man, has gotten more and more popular here in the United States. I am truly astonished. Yet with the amount of whining and the amount of blaming and accusing and bellyaching that I'm seeing on a daily basis, social media, the news, now it almost seems like that playing victim, man, that right there is that's the latest fashion trend that so many people are lining up just to try on as fast as they can. I mean, more and more professional victims, they're demanding your attention by any means necessary. And the attention of everyone around them, by the way, because they are always going to be more important than you and I. So tonight, friends, we're going to be discussing the professional victims and how we can avoid stepping into that darkness on this Mental Health Monday. But, friends, we are live right now through all of our affiliates at Raw Talk Online, IPM Nation, About Face Radio, Pulse Talk Radio. We're live right here on Facebook, the Philip D. Blackman Show over on YouTube and at LinkedIn. Philip D. Blackman Show or the Philip D. or the PDB Show at Twitter and Twitch. If you're part of that neighborhood, guys, thank you so much. If you want to leave a comment or you want to participate in the show, feel free to do so in the chat, or you can call or text the number on my screen at any time at 409-245-9753. Again, for my listeners across the airwaves, that's 409-245-9753 if you want to be a part of the show. So again, to all my listeners across the nation, around the globe, thank you all so, so much for joining me on this Monday's episode of episode 314, Mental Health Monday, Professional Victims. All right, so Rob Williams is already starting us off. He says, BS, but I guess he's talking about my views about Face Radio Greece is every single thing Phil says, unless they're Cowboys or a good football team, then we hate them, and I look skinny. All right, well, hey, guys, well, thank you so much. I'm feeling thin today, you know, but it's not about me. It's about you. It's about these professional victims that we're seeing everywhere in our society. I mean, many of the people in the self-development space of our psyche, they like to suggest that we are the one who manifest everything that happens in our life. Those are people who understand about self-development. They understand what personal growth is. They understand that everything that's going to happen in your life, good, bad, or indifferent, it's your own fault. You know, there's an element of truth, but it's not locked down in certainty, but you know, all of us, you know, we're gonna occasionally be the recipient of some type of random occurrence. It happens. It's going to happen to us all, both positive and negative. I mean, when you reap the benefits of accidental largeness, right? You celebrate it, the gratefulness. But you always try to stay humble when you have an accidental success. I tell you, don't brag about it. You know, don't brag about ascending Mount Everest if you were dropped there by helicopter. It just don't count. It's like being almost pregnant. You are or you are not. You know, when you're victimized by an indiscriminate tragedy on the other side, you know, you need to endure it as stoically as you possibly can. Find the lessons that are going to help you overcome any future difficulty, because they do exist whether we want to admit it or not. I mean, truly, you can wallow in victimhood, or you can decide to become a victor. That's what we're talking about this Mental Health Monday. You know, these are the people who get laid off, people who are diagnosed with a terrible medical condition. Maybe they have a random meteorite land on their Toyota and their dog dies, and all this stuff happened in the same week. You know, energy, I believe, it can be repelled, but it can also be attracted. You know, if you notice that, if you're a person who normally has good energy, who normally puts out good positivity for the world, a lot of times you'll receive it in stride. But the other side of it is, friends, the negativity also breeds itself as well. Now, consequently, the more negativity we bring in is where the repellent of the positive energy is, and back and forth. But that is where we are as a society. That's what we need to understand. Energy, our energy, it can be attracted and it can be repelled. But I argue that it's the professional victim, you know, those folks, right? They've somehow found this way to create some type of new energy that allows them to really attract every single calamity that could ever happen, every catastrophe that could ever happen in a 50-mile radius of them. They have, either they're the unluckiest people in the world, or maybe some of it is self-inflicted. Now, of course, they all have a logical explanation as to why they had nothing to do with any of it, because they're just simply unlucky. They're innocent victims. But here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen, not everyone is that unlucky. Matter of fact, no one is so unlucky that the every day of their life is an old Merle Haggard country song, just sad as shit. That is not the reality of the world we live in. It's people in this professional victim category that usually, and they subconsciously end up, you know, putting themselves in this victim situations, because there can be a lot of emotional rewards. There can be a lot of payoff, I guess, for being a professional victim. I mean, some people need contrived drama to have some type of stimulation. They need to create chaos so they can have some chaos. But I argue some of them actually desperately seek attention. I think we have people who are desperately on the search, looking for as much attention as they can get. And why it doesn't seem to be panning out that way, I'm not real sure. But we have folks who are desperately craving any and all attention they can receive, because they understand that professional victims, they are going to receive all the attention that one may want. I think the other side of them, they're emotionally crippled. They're unable to accept any love or any happiness from anyone. And the only thing they can really accept in its place is attention and sympathy and pity. I think a lot of people, you're right, a lot of them are truly infected with negative memes about money and success. They believe that if they believe hard enough, they're going to get money. They believe hard enough that they're going to get X, Y, or Z, then they're always going to subconsciously self-sabotage their own life because they're trying to feel worthy. And then I think there's others, right, of your professional victims, you know, that with these negative memes, these negative views from organized religion, to believe that they're meant to suffer here on Earth and only receive their reward in the afterlife, provided that they suffer enough. These are all elements of professional victimhood that we should really be paying attention to. We should be looking at. I mean, I really believe that presents a serious challenge for a lot of folks. I mean, how do we remain loving? How do we remain caring? How do we remain empathetic people, but not perpetuate that victim cycle? Is it even possible? I don't think so. I mean, who would have thought in 2023 that playing the victim, more than anything, I say playing the victim card, it'd be the one thing that resonates with so many Americans? Who would have thought, with everything that's going on in this world, everything that's going on, especially in this country, that victimhood is what resonates with more? I mean, we're in a land of opportunity for each and every one of us. Anyone who's willing to put hard work and to fight beyond any obstacles that are either perceived or real, anyone can be successful. We see it every day. I mean, people who are willing to challenge the status quo and refuse to be denied of the goals that they have for themselves and their families, we see them every day. But because it's not happened to us, it's got to be somebody else's fault, right? I mean, there was a time when people would stand up and they wouldn't demand that something be given to them. No. They would never do that. They would never demand something be given. They just simply work and take what they knew was theirs. You know, those people were the people that had vision. You know, it's a vision that whatever they're working for, it was already theirs. These people, they fought, they believed, they knew that their life was great. They knew they were going to do something with their life. They were not going to accept where they were in life. They were not going to accept their situations for being a final thing. They knew that there was going to be something that was better out there for them. That vision was already theirs. They just had to wade through the mud and the muck to get there somehow. And they did. I mean, today, if somebody fails to meet any goal that they have in front of them, it's always because it's someone else's fault, right? Or it had something to do with something that may have happened that was way beyond their control. They can't lose weight because they got a slow metabolism or they got a thyroid problem or working out is just way too hard. Or even something as simple as like eating healthy is too expensive. Excuses are everywhere. They are there and they're existent. People will argue that they can obtain their goals because of their socioeconomic status or their skin tone or their disability. If you pick your poison, there is plenty of reason for you to fail. Because this is where excuses are. You know, they're a poison that's found its way into the hearts and minds of so many Americans as they've subscribed to this notion that they just simply cannot win despite living in a land of opportunity. You know, we have immigrants right now flocking to the United States by the millions. We talk about it at least every week on this show. Because they recognize that this country, the United States of America, is the land of opportunity. More opportunity than they ever considered that they would have back in their home country. So why is it that we see immigrants who come from poor countries and low education standards and even lower living conditions to move here and then they thrive? How does that happen? And I think the answer is because they have not subscribed to that victim mentality. Only in America do we hear citizens claim that America was never great, or that America is the land where white people can flourish, or a system that is against them because of something that our ancestors, not them, have created. Those are people who have adopted the task of becoming a professional victim. And that isn't something that one race or one religion or one sexual orientation. None of these groups hold the patent on being a professional victim. Professional victims are everywhere. I don't know, maybe you are one. Maybe you don't realize it. Maybe I am. But I want to tell you a story about one of the greatest men I ever knew. He was one of seven children, right? And his mother was an illegal immigrant from Mexico. And she moved to the United States with dreams and aspirations of obtaining the American dream. And it was this man right here who grew up picking cotton, fruits, and vegetables in South Texas. His family was truly dirt floor poor. As a matter of fact, they were so poor that for nutrition, he was breastfed until he was the age of 7 years old because his family just couldn't afford to provide food to feed the entire family, so they had to get their nutrients somehow. They were poor. This man watched his parents. He watched as his parents did without, just so he and his siblings could have something. He always knew that there was more out there. He always knew there was more out there for him because it was going to take a lot of hard work to overcome the fact that he was a Hispanic man in a state, Texas, by the way, where it's not universally accepted for a Hispanic male during this time. After joining the military and serving his time, he bounced around from job to job to try to find his stride in adult life. He was a bartender. He was a truck driver. He changed tires for a local mechanic. He was a volunteer sheriff's deputy. Anything that this young man could do to support his growing family like his parents did for him, he was going to do it. And eventually, he found his job. His calling, he was a janitor. He was a janitor at a bank. That's where he started out, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, he had a high school diploma. That was what he was qualified for. But he recognized as an adult that he needed a college degree if he ever wanted to move up from being that lowly, low-paid janitor working at a local bank in Northeast Texas. So while he worked a full-time job during the day, he also drove an hour. One way, 1 hour. To a community college just north of his home or north of his town of Mount Pleasant, Texas. He drove up to Paris, Texas, 5 days a week. He would drive 1 hour there, do his college, drive an hour back home, do his homework, and then go to work the next day, 5 days a week. He worked tirelessly to achieve his goal of being a college graduate until he finally did. But it was in the meantime. Besides his daily duties of cleaning the bank, you know, he mowed yards, he shredded bank paperwork, he offered to do anything that he could to earn a little extra money. I mean, sometimes he did it for free because he believed that his family, they wouldn't have struggles that he had growing up. This man understood that if you're willing to do more than you're paid to do, eventually you're going to get paid to do more than you do now. And it's with a growing family of five children, he recognized that he needed to do anything and everything he could to get ahead, and he did it. And it was through time, through perseverance, and a nonstop dedication to his family, he became an excellent provider for his family. He saved every dollar. He didn't live a lavish lifestyle. Hell, he could afford to, but he chose not to. And eventually, this child who grew up picking cotton, who grew up picking fruits and vegetables, he managed against all odds. And the racism and the discrimination of Northeast Texas of being American or being a Mexican in a primarily white town, he became the vice president of a bank where he started as a janitor. I think it's fair to say this man, he fulfilled his dream. The American dream. That was what he wanted. The American dream of having money, supporting his family, and becoming one of the most respected men in his new hometown in Northeast Texas, Mount Pleasant, Texas, while maintaining his humility the whole time. His work ethic that he grew up with until the day that he could no longer work, which was just shortly before he passed. Yeah, he could have made excuses because he was working against a system that wasn't designed for a Mexican child. But he never complained. Every obstacle he faced was just another opportunity for him to test his mettle. And he always did. He was my brother in arms because he was a veteran. But more importantly, he was my friend. Eloy Chapa, my wife's father. He was and still is the epitome of the American dream. He never subscribed to the victim mentality when he had every reason to. So when I hear people say that it's not possible, I think the argument could be made, you're just not trying. Guys, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back.
So, I finally told my parents we're moving to Paris.
Oh, oui? Oh, fantastic. Can I tell you something?
Yeah, of course. Jean-Luc?
I am a pathological liar. Everything I've ever told you is a lie.
What did you lie about?
Oh, pretty much everything. It's pathological.
So you're not from France?
Yes, I'm not from there.
So you don't own the gallery where we met?
I don't own that one.
So you're not a doctor?
No.
You didn't leave this?
Not necessarily.
Well, what about us? Do you lie when you say you love me?
No. I'm only telling you this because I'm truly in love with you.
You are?
No.
Look, I don't know what to believe, Jean-Luc.
It's Edward. My real name's Edward.
What?
Jason.
Edward or Jason?
Well, Gregory, if you want my...
All right, guys, welcome back. Episode number 314, Mental Health Monday. Professional victims is the conversation. So why is it that we see today there are so many people in the world who'd rather just point a finger and pass the blame rather than just stiffen up their upper lip and drive beyond what everyone tells them they just cannot be? I mean, where did this sense of entitlement come from? When did we as a country allow people to just throw a hissy fit when things don't go their way and take to the streets and destroy something that they put no effort into building free of consequence? I mean, I think the answers to these questions really lie into the fact that, you know, we've made having a victim mentality chic. And that's the subject of tonight's segment, The Breakdown. You know, victimhood seems to be the latest fashion trend to take our country's psyche and really turn it over on its head. Victimhood has become a status symbol. And it's unreasonably elevated people into thinking that because they've had experience, then it's their experience that is the status quo, and there shall be no allowed dissent from anyone. If you haven't had my experience, then your voice doesn't matter. And it's truly a fad that it's rapidly gaining traction, and truly the facts will be damned no matter what's going on. I mean, let's be honest. People are not succeeding because they've become allergic to work. I mean, could you imagine how far a man, like many of our fathers and grandfathers, would have gone if they had subscribed to this microwave society where everything has to be done right now? I mean, not far at all, because I'm guessing because they knew that being a professional victim, it didn't and it would not ever put food on their table that they needed to provide. Excuses don't pay bills. So what is it that makes a professional victim who they are? First off, I think truly they're not a victim. Let's be honest. Unlike most professions where you get paid a wage, there's a professional victim that gets paid in undeserved attention. I guess that could be their value of money. But it means that you blame your challenges and your shortcomings in life on everybody else around you, even if you cannot prove their negative actions. It's just got to be your fault. Or maybe you even, you know, blame things on your circumstances, which you always happen to see as unfair. You know, professional victims, they can refer to a person who has a victim complex. Someone who seems to think that all the hardships in their life, it stems from being oppressed. Or someone whose public visibility and their contribution to public discussion, it's based on and has a dependence on being or playing a victim. They always have to. They never come from a point of superiority unless they're coming from a victim status. I mean, a complex, high-professional victim might associate every obstacle with just about every one of their minority profiles that they may carry, or varyingly with a degree of some type of intersectional minorities that they represent. It can be a form of responsibility dodging. Not my fault ever. Not now, not ever. Especially when it's employed as a psychological coping mechanism. My argument that we see a lot is that professional victims, if you've ever worked with them, you know that, quite frankly, they are very stealth bullies. They're always caught in this never-ending blame game with one of these individuals. It's toxic to the extreme, and we see that, and it's affecting people's mental health because they try to have these conversations with these professional victims, and they lose their mind to the point where they're being gaslit. It's never a game that you're going to win. It doesn't matter how many facts you present or how logical your observation, your counterarguments are, you're never going to dethrone a professional victim. We've seen several cases that just in this past year, some of the subject matters that I've carried on my show. You know who you are. I mean, it's extremely unlikely that a narcissist, like a professional victim, is going to give in to any. They're never going to give up the mantle of victimhood because that's where they find their power. I mean, it'd require them to take some type of responsibility for their actions and maybe abdicate their gross sense of entitlement and their compulsion to control, but they refuse to. Because being in control of their environment, of their relationships, that's what gives them this false self of illusion of safety and protection from ever being exposed for the fraud you are. Potential loss of supply of attention. That's just never going to happen. But rarely, if ever, you'll notice your professional victims, your true narcissists, they never ever apologize for anything. They have exclusive rights to the role of the injured party no matter what they did. And I mean, and when you call them out on their behavior, they provide ample excuses for why they're not responsible. I did this because you did that. Cause and effect, instead of just owning it and saying, yeah, it's mine. No, I did this because you did that. The excuses they do is they redirect blame onto you as some scapegoat or maybe someone else. Usually the person the narcissist has wronged, that victim is wrong, that's always going to be your fault. It's always your fault or someone else's fault, but it's never, ever their fault unless it somehow serves their self-serving agenda. You know, you watch them, they push people's buttons to get some type of emotional response. You see it a lot on social media. There are very determined narcissists that could make the Dalai Lama lose his mind, so don't be upset if you catch yourself really wanting to get a little throat stompy when you're dealing with anyone like this, because it is an easy thing to want to jump into. Why? Because they make it so easy to lose your mind. They have scripts in their head. They have prepared for every possible counter argument because they know what they are. They know that their logic is flawed. So they're trying to go ahead and create these scripts in their own head about how these interactions with other people are supposed to go. You know, non-disordered people, they have scripts too, with the exceptions about how others will respond and react with us. But our scripts, they're not rigid. We typically adapt when these professional victims don't respond the way that we think or they hope they will. But that's not the case for these narcissists. If reality doesn't have, if it doesn't match their script, they're going to make it fit. Facts and reality be damned. I mean, you're seeing it now where we're redefining a lot of things in our culture. We're redefining it. Why? Because somewhere, somehow, someone has told these people that their opinion is the only one that matters. They're typically going to blame everyone else for their shortcomings, for their failures. They live in this never take personal responsibility land, which is bordered by just to the north of if only land. You know, their refusal to hold themselves accountable, it allows them to lay blame at their parents or their siblings, good Lord, their coworkers' feet, their bosses, their professors, and of course you for their unhappy life. It's always going to exist. They'll tell you that someone shouldn't be, I tell people, you know, if you want to understand what I'm talking about, man, go watch Napoleon Dynamite and check out Uncle Rico, right? If they'd only put me in, we'd have went to state. They'd be running the business if only his boss recognized their true talents. They'd be a doctor by now and wildly successful if their professor just hadn't cross-eyed when she sneezed, or they wouldn't be so hard on you or abusive if you did more of X, Y, or Z. Don't fall for any of this BS, folks. These professional victims, they're correct in that there is someone to blame for their sad life, and it's usually in the mirror. They only need to look in the mirror to accept blame for who they are, but oftentimes they refuse to. They don't have that ability. Well, they have the ability, they just don't have the desire because they admire and they respect other bullies. It's a fascinating aspect of the professional victim and that narcissist, right? They defend those who bully and mistreat them, you know, people they can't control, and they lash out at those who want to help them and care for them, you know, that codependent target of abuse. You know, they may finally describe an ex as someone who sounds like a real bitch as a really good person. She just had a rough childhood. You know, the fact that narcissists and professional victims admire and respect bullies and other people who abuse their power, man, it's a huge red flag because we emulate those that we admire. So to be clear, these professional victims admire other bullies and other abusers because they're abusive bullies masquerading in victims' clothing. I mean, to be honest with you, I know firsthand that bad things happen in life. You know, the victim mentality is not centered on the notion of you being a victim of a crime like an assault or even a sexual assault. I mean, those kind of victims, they have actual merit to their complaints because they do leave a traumatic scar. And they happen because the actions that took place outside of their control. You know, there comes a time when you got to wrestle that emotional bear to the ground. And sometimes it's going to take the help with family and friends and maybe even counseling. And, you know, it's okay to feel sorry for yourself, even, you know, from time to time, because life is hard and life can beat you down regardless of how tough mentally you are. But I'm telling you, don't live there. Professional victims, they got a way of seeing their lives through the perspective of other people. The perspective that bad things are always going to happen to them for whatever reason. I mean, is it true? Or is it a result of the decisions that you're making in your life? I mean, as a professional victims, you know, they have a combination of seeing most things in life as negative beyond their control. Something that you should be given sympathy for experiencing because you deserve better. I mean, look, if you're searching for sympathy, I tell people all the time, if you're looking for sympathy, then hey, here you go. Open up the dictionary. Check somewhere between the word shit and syphilis, and you're going to find all the sympathy that the world owes you. It isn't about deserving anything in this life, no. It's about earning in this life. Nothing is free, and nothing's going to be given to you. The very root of the professional victim, man. It's actively finding a way to avoid taking responsibility for yourself, your life, your circumstances. You're always more than your circumstances. And if you don't realize that, then you need to either develop more positive friendships, more positive relationships, or you need to find your line of intolerance where you're just not going to accept that status quo anymore. Not one more day. If you don't like where you are, move your controller. You know, it's more than just going around and throwing a tantrum until life gives you what you want. Remember, I said nothing is free and nothing's going to be given. And if it is, there's always going to be a hidden cost somewhere. You're going to have to make a decision to change your way of thinking. Get out of your own way and go earn whatever it is that you're chasing in this life. It boils down to your mental endurance. Do you have the stamina to work until your initial goals are achieved? If not, then you know what? You don't really want to succeed that bad. You just fell in love with the idea, with the notion of success. You know, most rational people, they recognize that beyond the random occurrence, there is that where something bad happens, many things that take place, they do so because of the appointment that you made to be there through your actions or your interactions, and only you have the power to choose a different route for yourself. You know, there's very few choices that are made for us as adults. Most things are our responsibility, our choice, contrary to what someone else is going to tell you. Is those rational people, they understand that when something bad or something difficult happens, it has something to do with deserving or not deserving. It's life playing its part to give you a checkup from the neck up and keeping you humble. That's what it does. It's going to continue to punch you in the face. Rent is due every day. And you got to step up and you got to pay the piper if you want to play this game. You know, people make choices to be professional victims because they recognize that there are perks when that happens. And when you're a professional victim, there are a lot of hidden perks. They're free. First off, they're free from taking any responsibility for their lives. They have the right. They reserve always the right to complain until they receive the attention that they believe they have coming to them. I mean, just think, one time while I was working for the NFL, yeah, I traveled a lot to San Jose, California, home of the 49ers. You know, in the airport, they actually had a room, and it was dedicated. It had a big placard on top of it. It said, Safe Space. And I come to realize that the Safe Space was something that was a dedicated room for people who found air travel to be too stressful. If you've ever traveled, especially little kids, then, yeah, you know air travel can be stressful. So for shits and giggles, man, I took my bomb dog. That's what I was doing with the NFL at the time. I was working a bomb dog. I took my dog into this room to see what all the hullabaloo was about. What does a safe space look like? Because we don't have those in Northeast Texas. And they actually had soft music playing. And they had a hint of lavender in the air. And people were meditating and getting their chakras in check, right? Doing the downward dog and the sun salutation to eliminate their stress. It was really remarkable to see. Because it was right on. I recognized it for what it was. These people were as silly as we could have been, as macho as we could have been. Oh, the safe space, look at these snowflakes, right? No. These people had found an outlet that was provided to them, doing whatever they had to do to just maintain. Now, granted, I passed judgment at first because I thought it was just a little bit too much, to be honest. But who am I to judge their journey? These people chose the responsibility route. The route of taking ownership and responsibility for their thoughts and their actions instead of just being another tit bag at the airport throwing a fit because their day just isn't perfect. But you know, another perk of having that victim mentality is having other people feel sorry for you. People get off on that. I mean, and that right there in turn leads to people criticizing you or maybe upsetting you less because everyone recognizes that you're fragile. You're sensitive. We got to take it easy. People are going to bend over backwards. They're going to tiptoe around their narcissist's extreme sensitivities. And they're going to accuse you of being disrespectful and inconsiderate of their needs because you're not playing their game. Most people are going to submit to your victimhood if you're a victim. Most people are going to submit to your victimhood and give you whatever you want because you're a citizen of this nanny state, right? They'd rather leave you alone or fake accept your victimhood and give in because the last thing that anybody wants to do is be labeled whatever term that you're going to give them because you have a platform of social media. They'd rather just give in and rather than would ever consider being canceled. And that's why we're seeing this behavior that we're seeing in this country. The wrong kind of fighters are fighting. You know, your compelling story of victimhood, man, it draws like-minded people to you. And now you seem like the most interesting person in the room because there was never a time where you're bored out of your life because your life's been full of drama. You don't have time to feel anything but sadness. Like when you're the guy who has his heart stopped from playing semi-pro football, similar to what happened to Devin Hamlin, you're a professional victim. Or where you're a guy who took on an armed assailant who was armed with a knife and you were armed with your Fruit of the Looms, right? But somehow you managed to take a knife wound all the way through your forearm. And then in the fight, you pulled it out and you stabbed the man in the neck with his own knife. He died. No police records happen that to show that event ever happened, but you're a professional victim. You know what it's like to be victimized. Or my last example of a professional victimhood, you know, could be maybe when you claim that you have a purple freaking heart and raised money off people's sympathies. And you got caught, so you blame the organization who rushed to your ceremony so your mother could give it to you, a fake-ass award. That's right, your dying mother's last big memory of you was still a fraud. May she rest in peace. So you search and you find something to be outraged about. Like my previous examples. You know, you rally your troops and you take to the streets with your chants, and they always seem to rhyme and demand attention for something that you created. Hence the creation of the social justice warrior. It's impossible, absolutely impossible, to have a respectful conversation, equal relationship with a professional victim, a narcissist, or any other professional victims because they want control and power. They don't want equality. They want reciprocity. They want mutuality. These are individuals who go through life feeling slighted and angry, evading responsibility and blaming other people for their choices, their actions, and their failures. So good luck trying to talk to them about it. I mean, you'll likely be met with an extreme defensiveness, you'll blame shifting, and even maybe a narcissistic rage somewhere, or borderline abandonment rage, because you're calling them out. You're not giving them the victimhood status that they want. Since their primary identity is that of a victim, if they give up their false self, then who are they really? Well, they're an empty shell of a person who treats other people like crap and who's squandering their life away because they're more comfortable being a professional victim. And that's the breakdown. Guys, stick around. I'm going to take a quick commercial break, and we're going to have a news break right after. I'll be right back with you in about 2.5 minutes. Guys, stick around.
Dear Mainland, aloha. Now, we know you guys love Friday. You even thank the creator for it, TGIF. But why leave out Thursday? Now we know
maybe
you guys love. You call Thursday Little Friday and be thankful for it too.
Happy Little Friday.
It's Monday, brother.
Happy teeny tiny Friday.
One life, right?
Mahalo. Longboard Island Lager and Big Wave Golden Ale from Kona Brewing.
Community evacuated. I'm Lisa Lacerra, Fox News. Residents of Montecito, California and Santa Barbara County ordered from their homes, which are threatened by another round of heavy rainfall.
Reps for the Montecito Fire Department say the area has had 8 inches of rain in 12 hours. The order affecting roughly 10,000 residents comes 5 years after a mudslide killed 23 people and destroyed more than 100 homes in the area. Tens of thousands also evacuated in Santa Cruz County, which is on the coast south of San Francisco, because of overflowing waterways. Most of California under a flash flood watch. The storm, the latest of several deadly atmospheric rivers to hit the state, bringing downpours, high wind, and causing power outages and road closures.
Fox's Kristen Goodwin, the police chief of Newport News, Virginia, says a 6-year-old boy fired the handgun that wounded a first grade teacher Friday while she was teaching class, adding there was no struggle over the gun. The teacher is in stable condition. Doctors who treated Buffalo Bills safety DeMar Hamlin after he collapsed on the field. Hospital to continue treatment. Dr. William Knight of the University of Cincinnati Medical Center says Hamlin had been steadily improving before he was released.
While lesser designers would shy away from putting 300-pound men in spandex, you embrace it.
Yes, you do.
Pushing fashion to its limits, literally, you pair tights with a cape, a leotard with a mask, leather boots with a thong.
Oh, looking good.
All understated ways of saying, I'm going to rip your head off and look fabulous doing it.
Ripping off heads.
So this bud's for you, Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Guy. Because without you, a man crushing another man's head in his arms would just look silly.
Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
You know, at some point, I'm going to figure out how to get this technology working for my news break. My goodness. So, guys, hey, welcome back. Episode 314, Mental Health Monday, Professional Victims. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in. So I guess the big question we have for you is, why? Why are we talking about it tonight, right? I think I've hit one aspect of it truly being that that it's a power play. That is what we're seeing our professional victims do, and they're trying to hold a power play to try to hold you back. And quite frankly, it does become exhausting. I mean, why would someone willingly play the victim, I think, is the big question that a lot of us have. You know, why would they play victim regardless of the quote-unquote perks, right? I mean, maybe people playing the victims, you know, having that mindset because they watched their adults in their lives play the victim. And so we have a vicious cycle that's perpetuating right now. It continues with them. You know, perhaps those kids who grew up, they realize that playing the victim, it's the way to gain personal power. Maybe it's a way to gain attention. You know, as children, you know, we're all required attention. We're all required love. And if it wasn't given freely by whoever raised us, you know, we had to create ways to receive it. The only way as a kid to get attention, love, and affection was to play sick. Maybe act weak or purposefully allow bad things to happen that put you in a position of receiving the attention that you thirsted for as a child. And now, as an adult, maybe that's the way the professional victim keeps some form of notoriety, right? Most people, they're unwilling to call up that behavior, which in turn validates that behavior. Well, no one's telling me I'm wrong. But unfortunately, as we're seeing across the spectrum, social media, televised media, people are as comfortable playing the victim card as they are the race card. You know, for most people, it's a way to stop conflict or a debate dead in its tracks. I mean, just look at what's going on in this nation today. I mean, people, they're taking to the streets. They're tearing everything up while hiding behind the notion that they're victims of police brutality and systematic vaginitis because they're peacefully protesting while sticking their middle finger in the face and cussing out a police officer who's only there to protect them or an infrastructure. Or maybe they're actively throwing Molotov cocktails and destroying cities. You know, they somehow are the victims. They're the organizations and their followers. They're going to try to convince you and I that they're peaceful. The rioters and the violence is coming from the hidden infiltrators. They're going to be doing the bidding of the other side. Now, to be fair, we heard that same type of chuckleheads from D.C. on January the 6th. So let's call out both sides because they said it wasn't the Republicans. It wasn't the Trump crowd. It was internal rabble-rousers, right? No, let's be honest. Facts don't support that notion. And it's comical at best to suggest that everybody else is peaceful. The damage is coming from the other side. Negative. You know, the problem with this notion is they have the support of the liberal left. They to include our politicians and our media. Ever since 2016, ever since that election, there's been a huge increase in professional victims blasting their narrative on social media platforms. And they're supported by other professional victims really who know nothing about being a victim. It's a self-proclamation that most Americans must adhere to. Otherwise, they're going to be deemed a racist. They're going to be deemed a homophobe or a xenophobe and the like. I mean, just look what happened the day after the inauguration of 2016. The entire Democratic Party boycotted that event and still had the audacity to say that the new incoming president at the time was divisive. But that's for another show. That's for a political show, not this one. But professional victims, man, they refuse to have a civil debate about anything without using words like snowflake and white privilege and fascist. If you're one of those people who've ever used those words, chances are you're a professional victim. You just don't realize it. But consequently, whatever a professional victim accuses you of, typically you'll recognize that they are usually the ones who are guilty of it from themselves. But to break out from the professional victim mentality, be okay. First and foremost, be okay with not being a victim. It's okay. You don't have to be a victim. I mean, sure, there's going to be some internal feeling of emptiness when you go down that, when you let go of that power that you've called professional victimhood. Like all the hours that you spend each day or week thinking and talking to people about how the wrong things have gone for you in your life thus far, or how far everyone has wronged you, and how you're just plotting your great revenge or your great triumph over the evil. It now has to be replaced with something, because you're taking out that toxicity and you're putting in something more deliberate. This is where you have to fill your life with a new way of thinking. And it's going to feel uncomfortable as hell, because it's not intimately familiar as the victim thinking that you've been engaged in for years. Hey, what's up, Dirty Dale from Prime Nation? Guys, go check him out over on YouTube. He puts together a great program. Looking forward to having him broadcast on the radio here before too long. But Dale, always good to see you. Yeah, you've been missing shows, but that's okay. This show will always go on. But as always, to each and every one of you, thank you for joining me. Episode 314, Mental Health Monday, professional victims is what we're talking about. And so here's where we are, right? I believe a lot of people, they've lost their romance in life. They're missing out on the beauty of life because they have somehow found their comfort in misery, contrary to what they'll try to tell you. I mean, it's time to take responsibility for your life. Start developing a sense of self-worth that's equitable to your contributions, not just to you, but to other people. Professional victims, by default, they have low self-esteem issues. Am I checking any blocks for you? I mean, I believe that one of the biggest reasons is because there's a lack of responsibility for their self, and they lose, and those that they interact with. Relationships and ambitions and achievements, they suffer because you're relying on other people to do all the work for you. It's by taking responsibility of your life that can be one of the most empowering and rewarding decisions that you will ever make for yourself. And that's the difference, and it's quite remarkable once it happens. Once you take control, it's liberating. Making your decision, making a conscious and very deliberate decision to stop relying on external validation like praise from other people to make you feel good about yourself. You're building a stability from within. You become your own cheerleader. And you create these inner fires that fuels your life with positive emotions that only you can control, no matter what other people are going to say or do around you. You know, much like Mother Nature, friends, I argue that we gotta stay our course and do whatever we're going to do despite the criticism. As long as you're trying to produce growth for yourself, for your family, for whatever your why is, then keep growing. Because one of my common themes on my Mental Health Monday shows, it's gratitude. I mean, when I catch myself starting to accept the role of the victim, I really do. I ask myself, I have to stop and ask myself, man, does someone else have it worse than me? I mean, obviously that answer is yes, because I'm blessed beyond measure. I know God loves us, you know, all, but sometimes I feel like he takes extra special care of Philip D. Blackman, right? And I know the answer to my question doesn't really yield a positive thought, but it does have a tendency of snapping me out of my childish thinking of poor me. Poor me, man, pour me a drink. I mean, that defeatist thought, you know, many professional victims have, poor me. Get out of here with that, right? I understand, you know, I have a lot to be thankful for, namely waking up this morning, doing this show today. I've got an awesome wife and son. I have my health. It's not where it should be for a 43, almost 44 year old, but I wear my body's aches and pains as a badge of honor because you know what? They did serve two purposes. One, my body is disabled because I did something larger than myself. I served my country. I got hurt in the process. Hooray. I did something bigger than me. That's my badge of honor. Two, my aches and pains actually remind me that, you know, I'm still alive. I'm still in the fight. You know, asking myself, does someone have it worse than me? Man, it changes my perspective from that narrow, poor me, that self-centered view, into something that's much wider. It helps me lighten my situation and move forward. That's what works for me. You might need to find your own formula, but that's what works for me. You know, another aspect of breaking out of that professional victimhood that took me a long time to reconcile for me, and if you're a veteran, then pay attention. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Man, it's an easy notion to get wrapped up in thinking that forgiveness, man, that's just something that you should do. But forgiving can, in a very practical way, forgiving, it can be beneficial. Holding resentment's like drinking poison and expecting someone else to die. One of the best reasons to forgive somebody can be found in a quote from Catherine Ponder. She said, quote, "When you hold resentment towards another, you're bound to that person or that condition by an emotional link which is stronger than steel. Forgiveness is the only way to dissolve that link and get free." Brilliantly said. Randy, welcome to the show. Good to see you, my man. As always, guys, episode 314, Mental Health Monday. Guys, thank you all so much for joining me. We're talking, you know, hate corrodes the container that it's carried in. Learn forgiveness. As long as you don't forgive somebody, you're always going to be linked to that person, to that memory, to that moment. That emotional link between the two of you is so strong that it inflicts so much suffering in you. And as a result of your inner turmoil, most often in other people around you. It's when you forgive that you not only release that person from your life, but you're setting free from all that agony. That anchor around your neck that keeps you moving freely and keeping you from being the best version of yourself. Once you let go, man, it's empowering. You know, guys, we come to the point in the show where we take a special moment, we honor, we pause, we reflect, and we remember. We have brave men and women across the law enforcement spectrum. They're out there on the streets right now as we're doing this show, as you're listening, wherever you are, whenever you are. They're protecting our city streets because they're actively being protested and assaulted because they chose that calling, they chose that ministry, they chose that life to serve something that's bigger than themselves. Last year in 2022, we lost 229 members of the law enforcement community. That's 229 families that are going through their first year without their loved one at the dinner table because their hero answered the call from their city, from their state, from their fellow citizens, for someone, anyone, to step into that role of protector of peace. These heroes did that. And we must never forget their sacrifice away from their family, away from their friends, their first, their personal lives, and absolutely be willing to risk their lives for complete strangers. We're going to continue to honor our fallen men and women in the law enforcement community on every single show until people start highlighting these heroes' lives and sacrifices like they do for the misunderstood criminal who got dead by being stupid. So this week, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a moment. We're going to honor Breckenridge Borough Police Department's Pennsylvania Police Chief, Justin McIntyre, in this opening segment, End of Watch.
The Philip D. Blackman Show proudly salutes Chief of Police Justin McIntyre, 46th of the Breckenridge Borough Police Department in Pennsylvania, who was shot and killed on January 2nd, 2023, during a foot pursuit of a wanted subject. Chief McIntyre served his department for 22 years. Former Breckenridge Police Chief Jamie Bach said in a statement, "He dedicated his life and service to who we are. There are truly few people in this entire world who were more genuine and kind than our chief. This is one of the hardest things I've ever had to do. He was always professional, dedicated and hardworking, sensitive to the residents of Breckenridge, a role model for our children, and a valuable asset to our community. Chief McIntyre is survived by his wife, 4 children, and his parents. On behalf of the Philip D. Blackman Show and a grateful nation, thank you for your service, Chief McIntyre." Breckenridge Borough Chief of Police Justin McIntyre, End of Watch, January 2nd, 2023. Rest in peace, Chief.
62 miles to showdown.
Mike, I can't wait that long. You gotta pull over. I gotta pee.
We just left 35 minutes ago. You can't hold it?
This circus jolly's running right through me. Pull over.
Jesus Christ, Lonnie. Use that cup.
Look, I don't know about you, but it takes two hands to wrangle what I got. Would you like to hold the cup for me? Oh,
this thing didn't have a hole in the end of it. It looked like a football right now. They got great acoustics in there, right?
You know you made me hang.
Cigarettes are key, man.
Now wait a minute. You know you make me want to shout, kick my heels up and shout, throw my hands up and
shout,
throw my head back and
shout,
come on now,
shout.
Don't forget to say you will.
Shout.
Don't forget to say, hey, hey, hey.
Shout, say you will.
Say it right now, baby.
Say you will.
Come on, come on.
Say you will.
Say that,
Say you will.
Say that you love me.
Say,
say that you need me.
Say,
say that you want me.
Say,
you want to please me.
Say,
come on now.
Say,
come on now.
Say,
come on now.
Say.
I want you to know. I said I want you to know right now. You've been good to me, baby. Better than I've been to myself. Hey, hey.
Come on, man.
What's up in that?
Shut up.
A little bit louder now.
Shut up.
A little bit louder now.
Shut up.
A little bit louder now. Hey, yeah, yeah.
Hey.
We need to talk about your balls. Are they smooth or covered in bits of annoying fluff? These are my balls. See how they glisten in the light? Your balls can be like these, but you gotta use the right tools for the job. This? No. This? No! This! Only if that's what you're into. Balls are delicate, sensitive, easy to damage.
Someone's taking a chunk out of that one.
That's why I use the Lawnmower 4.0. It's got skin-safe technology with a replaceable ceramic blade.
So you can trim.
With confidence. It's got an LED light, so you can always see what you're doing. Lights, please! And what's more, it's got a wireless charging system and it's waterproof. You can even drop it in your pint. You wouldn't want to drink it, though. It's got pubes in it. The Manscaped Lawnmower is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. That's over 4 million balls. Isn't it time you joined them and used the right tools for the job? Because when it comes to balls, you don't want to muck about.
Go to manscaped.com and check out the all-new Lawnmower 4.0 and receive free shipping.
All right, guys, one final thing. Episode 314, Mental Health Monday, Professional Victims. Here it is. We all have choices to make in this life. We do. Whether we want to admit it or not, you know, big act, you know, to be big or small, to act or not act. All the choices that we have in this life, they matter and they have consequence. You know, it's important to make sure that you always consider the full range of options in front of you before you try to make a decision. Every decision that I learned in my life, it has a ripple effect. There's not going to be a single decision in your life that affects you, just you or even those really that seem impractical or logical at first glance. Your friends, your family, your coworkers, they're all affected by whatever decisions you make for yourself, whether you realize it or not. The reason why we talk mental health, especially about, you know, when we have people who, when we have veterans out there taking their lives, we have regular people taking their lives. I understand it sucks for you right now, but your decision, it has a ripple effect and it will continue to last for many, many generations after you. every decision that you make, it affects people around you. It's very hard to fathom that anyone who's ever lived in this life who doesn't have any friends or any family or any coworkers or any acquaintances, it's hard to fathom that idea that no one cares about someone. And you know, once a person realizes they have choices, then it becomes a lot harder for them to blame others for their actions, or maybe the lack thereof. So constantly ask yourself, you know, what's the biggest choice that I'll make at work today? What can I achieve today that didn't get done yesterday? Doing this, something simple like that, it will in time, is going to hardwire that critical, careful consideration in all aspects of your life. Make sure that you have goals that you're working toward. But the important aspect about your goals to materialize them is by writing them down, posting them somewhere. Don't only hold yourself accountable, but to allow other people to check in on you, check in on your progress. Even if your goal is to be more positive and complain less or eat healthy. But one of the healthiest goals to have when you're trying to escape the professional victim lifestyle is to start thinking in terms of solutions instead of problems. If you can, or if it's impossible, is not an option, you know, what would you do? If excuses are not a viable or acceptable situation, then what are the solutions? I had an old sergeant major one time tell me that if I brought him a problem, I better have at least three possible solutions or don't even waste his time. And I learned that when you bring a solutions-oriented attitude to every table that you're going to sit down at, the entire culture and the entire life of everyone around you is going to improve because you are driven by results, and that is contagious. Serious questions is what's going to help you learn and accept responsibility for your performance as a human being. Serious questions like, what did I do or didn't do that led to this? Or if I could turn back the clock and do it again, what would I do differently? Or of all the things that I control, which do I think contributed to this success or to this failure? Now, that last one's going to sting a little bit because we tend to shift blame from ourselves when things go wrong and we highlight ourselves when things go right. You don't have to be a professional victim for one more day. Nor do you really have to entertain professional victims in your life. Get rid of them. Get rid of the things that don't pay you. It is an exhausting existence, and we all deserve better. Removing yourself from the roster of professional victims across America, or removing professional victims from your life, man, it's only going to yield to positive results. No matter the side that you're on, your life can be better by unsubscribing yourself from professional victimhood. Cancel professional victims from your life. The best way that I can think to put this is addition by subtraction. You are adding value to your life by subtracting the negativity that comes with these professional victims. You're worth it, and so are those you interact with. We only get one chance this life, so we better make the best of it. Not waste it for another second or another minute or another hour, day, week, or year on a professional victim or being a professional victim. We deserve better. Let's hold ourselves accountable to meet that goal. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for me. I appreciate you all for tuning in to Show 60. I want to provide that middle ground analysis, but to remain consistent to the inconvenient truth, man, we should never, ever accept professional victimhood either from anyone else or from the mirror. Hold ourselves and each other accountable, and we will lift each other up. So until next time, friends, thank you for your service and your patriotism to this country. Without our men and women in uniform, our veteran community, and great Americans like YOU, man, this country would be a very different place. We are the only ones who stand between freedom and chaos, and don't let your dog tags dangle in the dirt. Stay on your feet and continue to fight that good fight against everything that's wrong. If you enjoy your peace, thank a police officer. If you enjoy your freedom, thank a veteran. If you see a first responder, give them a high five, handshake, tell them job well done because they're doing the job and nobody else can. Until next time, friends, my name is Philip Blackman. Catch me every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 5 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. Right here. Until next time, friends, y'all take care, and we will see you in the next trip. I'm out.